Hey, Universe. Welcome back to Power and Grace Radio. Tonight, I sit down live from Wadapalooza 2018 with Chris Shimley and Tia Wright as we discuss the realities of being an athlete and more. Enjoy.
All right, guys, as mentioned in the introduction, we are in Miami. This is Wadapalooza 2018. I'm with Chris Shimley, Tia Wright. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey.
We just stuffed our faces with some, Power and Grace Nutrition might be listening, with some extremely healthy, well-portioned macros and fueling up. This is Friday night, so we got two more days here with these athletes. So what's going on, guys?
Not much. I'm on a team with two other athletes, and Shim is an individual.
Today was a long day.
Boom, done. Shim's done.
It started early, and it just kept going and going.
Yeah, but definitely two different perspectives. Show me, how many times have you done individual here?
This is my third year.
Third year. And Tia, this is your first time Wadapalooza?
Yeah, I came here last year and just spectated, but this year I'm going to actually compete, which is cool.
Well, you've been planning this for a while.
Yeah. No.
How long ago did you decide you're going to do
Wadapalooza? Well, I bought my flights here on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of a last minute trip.
Sunday. Got it. Yet somehow you're still more prepared for the swim than Shimley is with goggles.
That's not fair. I have goggles. He's got a swim cap. We are the perfect team.
Together, you have enough to swim tomorrow.
I had a plan. Flying to Miami. I knew I wouldn't need... Okay, it's negative 12 in Northwest Indiana and 75 in Miami.
Right.
Where am I going to have a better shot of buying a pair of goggles?
I don't know, like all REIs have it. Don't you have an REI?
No, I live in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
It's cornfields.
Okay.
So we did decide we were just going to look around, and apparently there are zero places to buy goggles exactly where we're at in Miami.
Right, I'm probably not going to put my face in the water anyway. Like, they're going to bro swim with the arms, or I'm going to just side pull the whole time.
I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Those are the epic water pictures you get from Wadapalooza.
I don't even care for the epic water pictures.
No, you
do.
Let's just skip that part. We'll go
right to the sandbag?
Oh, maybe not.
No, you get the sandbag, right? It's going to be 150 pounds for the ladies, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then 200 pounds for the guys. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty hefty. I was playing around with them beforehand. That's not a lightweight for a sandbag.
No, we have a 150 D-ball at the gym, and we, store it in this, on a shelf rack thing. I can't even pick it up to put it on. It's only, 3 inches off the floor. I can't even pick the 150 up to put it in the rack.
What's your body weight right now?
Probably like 140.
All right.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, that's over body weight.
Yeah.
Dang.
What are you weighing right now, Zimley?
Probably like 195.
195?
So
yeah, you're both a little bit over body weight.
So Saturday is going to go off to a really great start.
Swimming. Yeah.
The only plus side tomorrow is that I don't work out until 4 p.m., so.
Yeah, we have a late that's start true. Tomorrow with individuals and teams tomorrow.
That's kind of nice.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, we woke up. It was crazy this morning. We were supposed to all run it. When were you supposed to go?
6:30.
Yeah, we were all supposed to go at 6:30, and they delayed it to we didn't go till 7:15?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And we all woke up probably around 5, just a long day, 3 or 4 hours in between each event. Mm-hmm. I came back and napped, but.
Yeah, naps. That's the best part about this competition, I think, so far, is watching these guys. I'm with Shimley at this competition, and the nice thing is you can just walk to your hotel room between. So I'm used to laying on a gym bag in a competition athlete holding area with a bunch of smelly people.
And it's never quiet.
I think Shimley's taken 4 showers today.
I think I've taken 2 or 3 showers, which is that's a lot.
That's 3 times as many as me.
You do stink right now.
I know.
I walk into the hotel room and he's just laying in his bed and it's he feels guilty. He's like, I feel guilty. I should be doing something. Cause I was you have 3 more hours before you even compete. You're just laying here on the floor.
Yeah. We woke up from our nap and I was okay, day two, let's go.
Yeah.
No, right. It's still day one.
Still day one. Yeah. Right. So, before we, before we press record, we were talking about the realities of a CrossFit athlete. Right? We were trying to come up with some random topic, which never works. And we decided, all right, realities of the CrossFit athlete. What is one perceived, like, something really, like, maybe, like, outsiders perceive about being a CrossFit athlete as opposed to what it's actually like?
Oh, man.
Deep thought happening.
Yeah, like, what's glamorous about it that everyone thinks?
I think it's the amount of unglamorous things that you have to do in a week.
I know.
Sitting on a bike or sitting on a rower or a treadmill.
I just don't think people, like, understand, like the finances. Like, we're not making a ton of money. Like, do they think that we're, like, rich athletes? Like, we're not.
No.
This is the, like, least wealthy sport in the world right now, you know? So I think they think, like, oh, life is probably perfect. You get to work out all the time. You probably have all these cool other CrossFit friends you train with, and that's all you have to do, and you just eat and work out. You're like, well, I'm going to go to the store, and it can't be over, like, $40.
We were literally in the elevator talking about, we started making jokes about, like, timing your shirt off in competition, and now how it's not even possible if you're wearing a sponsor. You just have to be sweaty because you'll lose $200 if you...
Yeah. If you take your shirt off, it costs you $200.
Sorry, guys. Put that back on.
That's like that. Have you seen that commercial? It was a long time ago. It was like a Pizza Hut commercial. He, like, took his shirt off. There's, like, there are no rules. And he's like, there's one rule. Put your shirt back on.
So...
yeah, it's funny.
So right now,
it was funny.
In case you guys didn't know, Tia Wright just wanted to point out that that was funny.
She made a funny comment.
These guys.
So if a sponsor's listening, Tia is now taking bids on a stomach tattoo.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because if you just get it there, then you can take your shirt off and it's always there.
That's a good point. They should actually do that. I saw someone with like a Ramwad tattoo on their arm.
That, like, an MMA and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, just write it on boxers or whatever.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, I don't know why they haven't.
Let me see if they start drawing it.
Get in on that.
Yeah. Why don't you just, like, write one across and see what happens? Get some
Sharpie.
My mom told me if I get another tattoo, I'm, like, 100% cut off from everything. She still pays for my phone bill and my car insurance, so.
You see that? Yeah, you see the Sharpie, so it comes off. So you can chain sponsors because you want them to bid against themselves. It has to come off.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
See, we're creating a new business.
$500 a quad.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a good quad sponsor for Shimley's quad. That's good.
I'll even shave it so it goes on nice.
You wear shorts to cover it.
I always pull my shorts up.
Yeah.
That's true. That's like the Shimley style. Like the, yeah.
One would call it a power diaper.
Power diaper.
I think Mark Bell called it that.
A power diaper?
I've never heard that.
You gotta get out more.
Do you think we can? Yeah. Can we market that? Is power diaper like a trademark thing?
I don't know. I might need to get online and buy it tonight though.
We're at powerdiaper.com. Sorry guys, this is pre-recorded, so you can't grab it before we do. And we'll be at a vendor booth at Wadapalooza 2019 with our power diapers. You can come meet Tia Wright, Chris Shimley at the booth. Try on a power diaper.
2019.
The shirt's going to be great. I can't wait.
Change my diaper.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's going to be great. What was the booth today that was measuring female quads?
Oh, yeah, quad size.
What?
They literally had a chart, and it was like big, like they like you go in for the biggest quads.
Oh, that's gotta be like proportionate though, right? Like
I don't think so. I'm sorry, it's not a weight class sport.
Fight Club.
I might be a contender. Can we do like a big hands one?
Sasquatch over here.
There's this girl. I was getting these like freeze packs on my ankles. Anyways, and this girl was like standing up, and she's like, she said she was 6'2", and I like shook her hand. I was like, whoa, your hands are huge. And we like put our hands next to each other, and I was like, my hands are bigger than yours. I'm like 5'3".
I don't know if there's any hands. Maybe you should get a Bear Complex to do a hand size competition so we can send to you.
There you go.
I call my hands bear paws.
There you go.
Why do you have such big hands? Like, one in your family or something?
No. Your We talked about genetics, right?
There you go. It's so weird. They're so big.
Like, do any of your family have really big hands?
Yeah, God, they're like the same size.
I'm currently holding your hands up, and I have pretty big hands.
Like, this goes further. Like, my palm is bigger than yours.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It is. Look at that.
Yeah. My dad has, like, huge hands. Like, I don't know how he ever types on a phone these days. Even with, like, the buttons, he went with, like, the dial phone, like, the flip phone for, like, the longest time. My mom has, like, they're feminine. They look really nice, but they're big, too.
There you go. Is that
everyone says it's because I'm a Viking.
Boom! We talked about it today. I had a theory on, like, Icelanders and athletics. And yeah. I was like, they had the ultimate breeding program going on for centuries. And now all that genetics is just pouring into to athletics.
Yeah.
You know, like, they send their kids out 15 years old, and, like, you have to survive a winter or you don't come back and be a part of the clan. Like, what a perfect athletic breeding program.
Yeah, blonde, tan, and big hands.
You got 2 out of 3.
I am tan.
No, you're not. Blonde.
Yes, I am. I went to Mexico.
You're not tan.
No. Well, I feel tan, so.
Yeah, I think Icelanders aren't very tan, are they?
Oh, yeah, they're not. I'm technically from Norway.
Vikings are, yeah.
And Norwegians sometimes are tan in the summer.
Sometimes in the summer.
And we used to go there all the time in the summer. And I'm serious. I felt like everyone was tan and blonde and beautiful and tall and, like, everyone spoke English. It was the craziest thing.
You check hand size?
No, I should have done that, but I was only like 9 years old, so I didn't know.
You didn't realize you had a problem.
I actually think my sister's hands are bigger than mine. I'm serious. Oh, and she's like, maybe. She'd probably do it.
Did it have some sort of, it's only like maybe use like a phone measurement or something?
How do we get the tape measure out?
We need a tape measure, hand size.
She played piano, and she'd like reach octaves, and I think that because of piano, it like forced her hands to grow bigger.
Yeah, that's creepy.
It's like force. It's like the rings in the necks.
No, those are gross.
Oh, yeah. Has it like been a benefit? Have you found one thing you're like, oh, I'm really glad I have big hands? Like palm a basketball or something cool?
Nope. Nothing functional.
Well, I mean, grip strength?
You know, I think that worked against me. Because they're so big, I've never had to, like, use my wrists. Or, not my wrists, my forearms. And so, I had to, like, play catch-up with my, like, grip strength. Because I could just hook grip everything and it never fatigued. And it just didn't ever develop. So, we just play catch-up all the time.
No grip strength. What about dominant quads that are just massive, Chris Shimley?
I mean, lifting anything past parallel, like a toe to bar. Yeah. Like 3/4 of my body weight's down there. Picking the leg up and putting it down isn't easy.
Running, toe to bar.
Any sort of jumping. Anything agile.
Muscle ups. Actually, it could work to your advantage on muscle ups.
Yeah, because normally it would.
If you can, if the straps aren't 20 feet long like they are.
I kind of like them.
Okay, we're about to have a fight. Here you go, guys. So we were trying to figure out on the way over here. I was like, how am I going to mitigate a fight between these two so we can get good radio? And I was like, it's not going to happen. But here it goes. they have very long straps for the muscle-ups on the Bayside stage at Wadapalooza.
They had chains on them.
They had chains on them because last year, the wind was blowing them around so much. They had volunteers trying to hold them down. So this year, the idea was to put chains on them. Even last year, I jumped up there, very whippy, springy, because the length kind of affected the kip. And then with the chains, not only did it affect the kip, it affected the dip. Like, a lot of people were struggling to lock out dips, even people who are traditionally very good at muscle ups. So there's a lot of problems, lots of falls, lots of crazy hands, shoulders flying over, except for Tia Rai, who said she likes them.
Yeah, I think that. I'm serious. Like, I think that the skill of, I mean, obviously it was a fair ground for everyone. So it's not like one person got to do it on like an easier set of rings, but the skill of the muscle up and to like be able to know that movement so well that you can do it on any like apparatus, I think is like even more impressive. Like you know, I mean, they're wobbly and I don't like the risk factor. Like, I don't like that at all, but you know, everyone's talking about how, like, your swing is going to feel really long, but you just have to make sure you stay centered. Like, the swing haunted people at regionals.
Yeah.
I was like, do you not train with long straps? Like, I don't understand. So, I don't know. I think that like if you're just like intuitive with the feeling of that muscle up and with the kip and the timing, then it behooves the athlete that understands that.
Shimley response.
Oh man. Well, how many were you guys like having to do at a time?
Well, I carried the team for the muscle ups, but they carried the team for the assault bike.
Yeah. So like the first set of muscle ups when I was fresh, like felt good because you didn't need to kip a lot.
Yeah.
But then the second and third set, you had to like use some hip, and I have pretty aggressive hips and a turnover, and when you had to start doing that,
yeah,
it was, you were bouncing all over the place, so, yeah.
Yeah, it had to be a lot smoother and a lot slower. Like, I had to pause in my dip on every rep.
Yeah. And you couldn't even, like, kip the dip very well.
Yeah, that's what Joe, one of our coaches, was actually texting me during the event and talking about how much... I think it's a body weight thing, too, right? We just talked about how much you guys weigh and the differences. Spreading that out over a... I mean, that was probably a 20-foot strap.
Oh, yeah.
Could definitely have a problem changing it around, so...
Yeah. I think it was a cool experience. I know Shim doesn't agree, but I thought it was pretty cool to get up there and do that.
It's a cool backdrop. I mean, it's Bayside, it's water, but... I mean, I think... I don't know. I'd be surprised if... I think you may even see another change... Like, we talked about maybe even having, like, a pole, a cross, or something like that. Just because it does, it changes out a lot. And they, we saw some athletes move some really awkward shoulder positions when they're coming out of it. Because they didn't expect the catch to feel like that.
This is so funny. I always relate that to, like, when you're water skiing or snowboarding. And if you, like, if something happens, you don't just, like, keep hanging onto the rope.
Right. Like, everybody fights for that.
You water. Don't just, like, get dragged by the boat. Right. Like, you let go of the rope, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know, you just let the rings go. Like.
I don't know. Well, because it's not like you're, turning over and you're like, oh, I'm about to, shit's about to hit the fan. Like, I'm gonna let go. It's like, oh no, my arm just catapulted out and I didn't have a split second to let go of the ring. Like, I'd let go eventually.
Like, he wasn't just hanging on by his arm.
Okay, yeah. I saw a girl right when we were going out. There was like obviously like the heat before us was going, and we were all watching, and this girl just like hung on to the rings, and everyone in my heat was like watching that, and they were like, like, what's happening? And I was like, God, just let go of the handle, you know? It was really funny, but I've been dragged by a boat before. So. Yeah,
so you really knew that experience.
It's a real experience.
You really expanded it really
She did
well.
Not have a helmet on when that happened in case anybody was...
Where's the helmet? Well, people do wear helmets when wakeboarding. I've done that once.
Done that once.
Yeah.
So. moving on. Let's see. We've already got a couple events out. Pretty standard CrossFit. We ran a long way. Mm-hmm.
Sure did.
There's a controversy with that, but like the distances and things, people not sure about the distance. People ran some extra 800s and some timer champs, but I feel like now we're seeing a lot more events that are starting to put this stuff in there. So how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I had a 5K run last weekend, and then the 7K run this weekend. And this was like part with a sandbag, but I'm fine with the running. I think it's a huge part of fitness, and all CrossFitters hate running. Like, get over it.
I do hate running.
Yeah.
All of them.
The good, like, ones just do it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just learn to like it.
You do.
I mean,
to push through. I mean, you saw one of the best examples is, like, a guy like Frazier, who was really, really bad at it, and then all of a sudden he came out and won that hill run, the trail run, was like, I was like, whoa, that he must have been putting some work in.
It's that like sadistic CrossFit mentality of like being bad at something, and then it's like you obsess over getting good at it.
Yeah,
like, you know, I feel like a lot of CrossFitters are like that. Like, CrossFitters mentally, they're not normal.
It's true.
Look at the stuff they do themselves every single day, like, and you and get enjoyment out of that.
Right.
I mean, so.
That's, like, community-wide. Like, I feel like we're at, I don't know, I think this is, like, the coolest competition on the planet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people here. A lot of spectators are just coming to purely just to watch and see and enjoy inside of it. But I feel like you could turn around to anyone in the crowd, and they have that same type of personality vibe or anything like that, you know? You can, and that's the cool thing about it, and being here, I think, in Miami, is, like, the crowd's awesome, everybody's hyped up, they're watching people down the floor suffer, but they're yelling out there with them, and they know it, and it, everybody does have that kind of mentality. And we were talking about, when we walked by, Shimley and I were like, oh, there's something going on at the main stage, and we weren't aware of it, and they had their adaptive athlete session going on, so these guys, you know, in wheelchairs, pull themselves, doing muscle-ups on the rings, things like that, it was just awesome, and the crowd couldn't have been cooler.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's awesome that they do that, and it seems like they've incorporated more and more, and it's gotten bigger. I mean, even the last 3 years that I've been here, I've noticed it more and more. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's a super cool part of the community, and I mean, we all three coach every day for the time in, so it's cool to get to do that and see through there. So there it is. There's a disconnect to a little bit of like a competitive athlete and someone who just comes in, but it's all relatable. They get to see a wall ball. They know what a wall ball feels like. There's a tilt bar.
Well, like I've never played football, so I can't relate to the football players. You know what I mean?
Right.
But everybody that watches CrossFit has done CrossFit.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the
relatability. Everybody's felt Fran before.
Yeah.
But
so they know what it feels like.
This is a safe space. We talked about this over dinner. It's not always, I don't know about you guys, it's not always fun to watch CrossFit all the time, though.
Oh, yeah. You got to be invested in someone on stage.
It is hard.
I think I take on a different perspective, though, because I go to competitions.
Right.
And there's, like, socializing, and then there's, or there's, like, competing. And if I'm, like, there to socialize and, like, hang out with people and meet people and, like, just enjoy that, then, like, what do you have to watch for?
Right.
Like, I'd rather just, like, either do that or compete. And if I'm competing, I don't feel like I need to watch.
Right.
I just want to, like, be in my own zone.
Yeah. I mean, there's hardcore fans out there.
It's a sport just like any other sport, really.
Right.
You know, so there are those people out there that just want to see the top dogs, and they want to see the kind of, I mean, like, the stuff we do on a daily basis is normal for us. It's not normal for that fan base. Just like watching like golf. When I watch golf, like
I
can't get over what they're doing.
Right.
It blows my mind.
Every time, yep.
100%. To them it's another weekend. They're going out there and they're just playing a game.
Right.
You know? So I think sometimes it's hard to realize that, like, you know, there's a 16 or 17 year old kid out there who's like watching Tia string a bunch of muscle ups together, because I couldn't do that. It's just mind blown that, you know, she could do it.
Warming up for muscle ups, and there were these girls that were like getting coached on how to do it, and it was so cute. They were young, and they were like clearly gonna like try and get their first muscle up. God, like, throwing back to those days. I was, like, 18, probably, like, the same little girl.
Right.
Oh, and I just, oh, it's so cute. Like, they're learning same way, exactly the same point. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's cool to be out there to see. It is just different, though. But I just can't sit out there and watch heat after heat of, especially, I mean, some events are a lot cooler than others. Don't get me wrong. Like, if we get, like, a speed clean ladder.
Oh, so fun to watch.
I want to watch a bunch of that.
Yeah. We had an event last weekend. I was at the Fort Vancouver Championship, which is an invitational. And the coolest event to watch was just 40 deficit handstand pushups and then run to the other side. And it was just a 60-foot handstand walk. And one athlete had to go, and then the next athlete had to go, but there were like plates as obstacles, so you had to go up and over them.
Nice.
And as a spectator, like, you just stand on the side, and it's literally a race. Like, you can just watch all the athletes go across. You know exactly where they are.
Yeah.
And that's so fun to watch. It's the same idea as a sprint ladder.
But then the next event's like a double unders and wall balls. It's like, okay, I'll check the leaderboard later.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. But that's when you just have to accomplish the goal of fitness.
Yeah, so like, we're testing it here.
Yeah.
That's why they put it. Well, they put the 7K run, you know, super early this morning.
Good call. No one wants to watch that.
You said that.
Still people
there were people, a lot of people watching.
There were people lined up. They didn't let them into the event yet, so they lined up on the fence so they could watch 3 seconds of the people run by, and then about 5 minutes later, run back by.
Yeah, and they did all morning. They just sat there.
They sat there and watched it. Pretty cool. I'm hoping they probably had somebody in the race. I'm hoping there's nobody out there just like, oh, I'm at WADA. It's 5:30 in the morning. I'm gonna get up, get some coffee, get my spot, watch a little running. But I mean, it's a growing sport though. It's cool to see like all the blogs and different things pop up, and like, I mean, there's people breaking this stuff down, like really far down into it. So it's kind of cool to see grow. Speaking of that, the Open.
Yeah.
It's coming.
The rest of the season. So close.
It's very close right now. It's
coming. 6 weeks?
I think so. Yeah.
Maybe five now.
Maybe five.
This one's probably over. Slash that one off the calendar.
We're getting there.
Dave Castro's already even dropping hints, so it's got to be close.
Yeah.
You see the dumbbells and the barbell stuff start to roll out. It's getting close. What do you get? We have predictions?
What's going to be the format change? I think instead of like a big prediction, like workout-wise, like, there's going to be a curveball of some sort of format change.
Well, he keeps swearing special. He's like, oh, it's going to be a special workout. Or something special about you. This year's going to be special.
I really think that now we've seen the changes in, like, the world regions, there's going to be a bigger divide between RX athletes and scaled athletes. Like, I really think that, like, they're taking it to a different level. Because there's, at some point, you're going to have a divide in athletes that want to qualify for the games and athletes that just want to do the Open. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're getting really close to that. I don't know how that's going to look, but that's...
Well, you've already seen, like, we were just talking about this yesterday. When we had to do the 7 minutes of burpees 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
You had a dude go out there and do 170 burpees or something like that, get the top score in the world, and then, like...
Someone got 170?
And something stupid. Fact-checking, keep going.
It was something like that, yeah. But then the dude couldn't do a single thing, like, in the rest of the Open.
Yeah.
But then it didn't really matter. It didn't screw things up too much. Well, now, with how competitive it is and how many, like, less people they're taking in the Open... That would completely screw somebody out of...
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah, what they would do in that...
Like, I think that might be me. Just 7 minutes of burpees.
Doing 170 burpees.
It was
170? I'm not going to get 170 burpees.
What year did we say that was?
2012. No.
Yeah,
2012.
How many burpees did you do?
112.
I think I beat her.
Oh, man, I'm going to pull out leaderboards.
That was my first, like, really dark place.
Yeah.
I remember, like, there was just a wall in front of me, and I just, like, my head was going up and down because you had to touch a target.
Yeah.
And I just, I think I blacked out.
I remember I was home, I was home from school. I was still going to school down at Wabash and trying to play football. So I came home that weekend. I did the 7 minutes of burpees, and then Monday morning at our... 5 a.m. workouts, our coach like warmed everybody up, and he was into CrossFit. He goes, all right, everybody get in the gym, we're gonna do 7 minutes of burpees. And I'm like, dude, I just did this workout like twice this week. Do it again? Come on. I wasn't happy.
All right. I did it again even a couple years ago, I think in like 2014, and I got like 130.
Yeah.
So that'd be a fun one to benchmark though.
I liked when they, like, was it the next year, 2 years later, then when they combined the burpees with the snatches? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The 30 snatches and the burpees, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was a cool combo. So. I don't know what the format's going to look like. I know that it's going to be different this year. It's funny, he changes it every, like, what, 2 years? Some new format?
Yeah.
So, we'll see something new, and we'll adapt and adjust, and it'll be awesome. We won't even imagine what it was like.
Yeah.
Even a couple years from now, we'll be like, gosh.
What about regionals? I mean, we've already talked a little bit about your big change.
Yeah, super affected.
Yeah. But, and then we actually talked about how Shibley was unfortunately not affected because they continue to not try to separate any region out of you, out of the Central.
Ridiculous.
Well, now we're all on your level, so.
Yeah.
Competitive regions all around.
Except for the South.
Yeah.
Except for I'm going to move to Mexico.
Just Texas is fine. We just talking about
Mexico's way cooler nowadays. I'm going to go run on the beach with a sandbag. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. I'm really thankful to be here, though. My teammates are both from California, and it's fun to, like, be around other Californians, knowing that they'll be at that regional and kind of just create a community in that area and feel a little bit more anchored when it comes time for regionals. And it's funny, everyone's like, oh, everyone's so screwed, like, it's going to be so competitive. But if you think like that, like, you've kind of already lost. So you just kind of be up for the challenge and see how everything goes year to year. And
really practice that assault bike in the off season.
Yeah, we did a lot of it.
Too soon.
Did you assault bike today at all?
You did assault bike.
No,
today.
I didn't.
You didn't get on it once?
Two calories.
Come
on. Spencer, she's completely just avoiding the assault bike when she can. I hope you heard that.
This is a training weekend. Oops. I rode it in my warm up.
So you've gotten 10 calories this weekend. That's good. On the assault bike?
Maybe.
I didn't go hard on the warm up.
I can't believe I got on the bike and had 2 calories to go. That's bad communication on our part.
Yeah, it's not good. I was like, how did you get 2 calories?
I was a big fan of those assault bikes, though. I like how the calories counted, like, 0.2, 0.5.
That was cool.
So you, like, knew when the next calorie was going to tick.
Yeah, and it jumped. It was, like, 0.1, 0.5, 0.6, 0.9. Done. Yeah.
And then you realize if you go hard enough, you can get those things to count by like threes, right?
Yeah, that's not my category of assault biking. I wonder what we're going to see as far as biking goes at regionals, because there's now like so many biking options. That Concept 2, the Rogue bike, the assault bike, the Aerodyne. And like the Aerodynes are super durable. I don't think they've ever been tested in competition. The Rogue bike hasn't been tested in competition, but it's the Rogue bike, so like for them to have the same, I don't know.
Well, and they have the Assault Air Runner now, so
that's right.
That's the assault thing.
Yeah,
right.
They could do that.
So it's, I don't know if it's gonna come down to sponsorships or like who's gonna go through there, because, you know, I don't know. The runners are probably very, very similar. I've been on most of the bikes. There's a lot of differences.
Mm-hmm. Well, those Concept 2s, the new monitors, you can like race against each other. And so if they can figure out some way to connect like a monitor and create that to be a more visual experience for the spectators.
Right.
Like I totally see why they would favor the Concept 2 bike over any of the other bikes. But I also heard that it's just a completely different workout.
Well, the Concept 2 is the pedal only, right?
Yeah, there's no arms. Like you sit like it's a tri bike.
Right, so that's more like cycling.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you guys listening have never been on an assault bike, it's not like cycling at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like energy burn. It's like thruster meets rower. I don't know. It's gross.
It's a good way to put it.
Right? A thruster meets a rower. But the concept is more just like a normal stationary bike cycling through. I did have someone who's been on the Rogue bike. I was telling some of this earlier. First one through there, and they just said it's sturdy. It's like, it's what you expect.
Yeah, doesn't it? It weighs a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It weighs like 100 and something pounds.
Yeah, I mean, you see these guys on a bike in the weekend, that thing's shaking like it's going to come apart. Like, the warm-up bikes are trash by the weekend, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're like making sounds. There's like a bolt missing. Like, they just get beat to hell. And I think that's what Rogue was trying to do, is like make something hefty come out. And so, obviously, Rogue's relationship with CrossFit is as old and tight as it gets. So, I'm assuming, you know, that could always be a possibility.
But then they would also have all their conditioning equipment coming from, other than the Assault Runner, coming from the same company. So Concept 2 ski ergs, Concept 2 rowers, Concept 2 bikes. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So
it'd be interesting to see what they pull out. You guys have a true form runner to get onto this weekend, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. I'm literally the last person to know any of the events.
I can't remember which. I think we're doing that chipper workout tomorrow. We have to run on it before every. I don't know what the team version of it is, but.
Yeah, I think I have to like carry my fireman teammate and. Yeah.
It's a good thing you got really big hands for that.
I don't think that's what it takes.
No, not at all.
Gotta help.
Yeah. Tiny hands would be a disadvantage.
Sure. Definitely on running.
Was that a touchy subject? Like when you were younger, did you get made fun of or no?
No, never.
Just curious.
Yeah, no, I was like, Like it was never a thing.
People get bullied, it's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I was a victim of bullying.
No, I got bullied for like clicking my pen too much.
Oh, so you were the annoying kid? Yes.
Imagine that.
What? Oh, only in like sixth grade.
How many times did they did the teacher move your seating arrangement to try to get you to stop talking to people?
No, actually never. I was always like, well, that's not true.
And I was like, how often was the teacher just like, all right, Tia, go to the back over to this desk, and then like you make friends with everybody there, and now you're talking to them. And then
I was
like,
friends with everyone, but I was a good kid.
What did you get? What did you get bullied for, Chris? What was your target?
I was a bit heftier back in the day.
Yeah, you know? There it is.
I didn't really get bullied that much, but you know, there's the occasional jab here and there.
Yeah,
but I was a football player, so it was kind of okay to be a little bigger, you know?
Right, had some fluff.
Yeah.
Diving into deep childhood memories now.
Yeah, let's
mm-hmm.
go.
Let's go. Let's get on this rabbit hole. Let's get down there and see what's down there. She looks terrified right now. It's like, I don't want to go there.
Man, I got like psychologists for this.
Yeah, right.
Not public podcasts.
Yeah. No, it hasn't been posted yet, so you can just go there. And if it gets too weird, I'm just kidding. This is like, oh my God, what are we about to talk about?
No.
No, I started this before we jumped on that rabbit hole trying to figure out if you guys actually running on a true farm.
Oh, man.
Okay, so every time I run on a true farm and I get off of it and like run on the road, I always feel like I'm better. Like it does help my running technique. It's just it's a little harder. I feel like if I just had one, I'd be able to get used to it, you know?
Right.
So I think like as a tool, it's a really, really good piece of equipment.
Yeah. I think they need to perfect their monitors, but other than that, I like them a lot for training. Our monitors run and calculate so differently than the ones that are here. Mm-hmm. And even our two true forms that we have are totally different. And like the running workouts that we get for Power and Grace, I know that like the time is so much slower.
Yeah.
Like, oh, run 200 meters. Well, that's going to take me, like, maybe 90 seconds. Like, our true form runners are just the monitors off. But, I that's all we do now because it's so cold there. It's just not great getting outside. Mm-hmm. And so I went out for that 5K run last weekend, and that was what I was thinking about. I was like, this is so much easier than running on a true form. Right. I love this. Like, somebody make me go run out in the cold every day. So... I don't know. I think they're a good training tool and obviously convenient for events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The old school treadmill.
Yeah.
So
it's way different.
Not real great.
No, it's 100%. And that's another thing is it's, yes, I mean, you know it's coming at regionals. Yeah, it's not always available to gyms. I mean, they're expensive.
They are.
And
there's a place here doing like payment plans, though.
Right. But it's a lot. I mean, how many do you have to have? I mean, if you're really going to do it for a gym, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
how do you justify spending, you know,
$1,200 for two?
I mean,
yeah.
Is it more than that?
Bucks for
no,
two?
No, it's way more
like
than that.
Like 10 grand for two.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. Those are like the really expensive.
You
can
outfit your whole gym with new equipment for that much money.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
hard.
Yeah.
I mean, with like you and industrial, obviously you guys have a very competitive base too.
Yes.
So that makes it a little bit easier. I mean, if you're at a smaller gym,
it's hard to justify buying a $5,000 treadmill when one person can use it at a time.
Yeah.
You know, or I could buy 10 new bars or whatever.
Yeah. We got, Santa Claus came to our gym in like 2016, so we got a revamped gym.
Santa Claus?
Yeah, legit.
I
don't think they can hear that. He whispered, I know him.
I mean,
legit though, like he bought all new barbells, all new true forms, gear, plates, everything. So I don't know.
Just got it made.
I mean, to me, I just like, you know, live in a better climate.
Yeah,
and then I can just run wherever I want.
Must be nice. Well, now that California is in the West Regional, I might as well just move to California.
Right. And then you just go down, and there they are. Or you just move to the easy region. And
Puerto Vallarta. I'm coming.
Oh, we had the discussion.
No, rent is seriously like only $250 bucks a month there.
Our regional's now in Utah.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool. Maybe I'll come.
No,
oh, it's the same weekend.
Yeah, we're the same weekend.
I know. Spencer is brokenhearted.
Uh-oh.
It's going to be tough.
Bum, bum, bum.
It's going to be tough.
Breaking the kids up.
We got to get through We gotta get through the open first.
That's true.
Through the open first, then. Crap. Let me talk about regions and how easy the South is.
I can tell you one thing. Sunday night, Spencer's gonna want to be in Nashville.
Maybe so. We'll just all jet over there.
Yes. Meeting it up, partying up through. All right, guys. Anything else you guys want to chat about tonight?
Pretty awesome.
Excited. We got the rest of the weekend in WADA.
Yeah, heck, it's only Friday.
It's only Friday. Who knows? I may try to get this out just so we can have it out tomorrow. These guys aren't doing anything. So if you're listening to this and then I mean, you can hang out with Chris Shimley and I on Sunday night. Not Tia Wright, though. She's just
simply not invited.
I have a job.
I was actually going to say she doesn't go to public events. She doesn't like all the paparazzi.
Yeah, I'm not social at all. I don't like to talk to people.
Doesn't take too long. But we will be out and about, I'm sure, doing the normal Sunday thing. But thanks for coming up here, guys, and being on. You guys are the regulars on the podcast now, so it makes it a lot more fun. Not sure when we get to do it again, but good times. We'll chat, I'm sure, around regionals times with everybody again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. See you guys later.
Thanks.
Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening to Power and Grace Radio. You can follow these guys, Tia Wright at TiaWright06 on Instagram and Chris Shimley at Shimley14. See you guys next time.